This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
Otto is back there with a Stella probably in his hand.
Yeah.
Robert's doing his thing. The hounds are here. Boy, they were so excited to see me rolling here last night about 10. Oh, there is nothing better, West Durham. Nothing better.
Did you work out the arrangements with the dogs for the compensation on their bonus coverage of the live look-ins the other day?
They've already been handled. Mrs. P gave me a hug. She went to bed, but yeah. Man, the hounds were so excited to see me. So I hooked them up on some...
ball dog the whole bit.
I hooked them up on some food. So if they're hanging near the side of the table, just beware. Just telling you. They were excited to see me.
Luke DeCock coming up here at about 8:15. We've got some stuff from yesterday, I think, that if you followed any of the coverage on ACC Network or certainly on ESPN, the family of networks, you saw a variety of things. I thought Jay Billis, by the way, Reese Davis, Sean Farnham, Alfonso Ellis.
All over it.
Tremendous.
Yep.
Stuff from the other conference tournaments, fantastic. But in particular, we'll focus on some of the ACC stuff and certainly Jay here in a moment. Yesterday we had, by the way, and I was asked about this yesterday, and I said, well, this traditionally happens when the regular season champion takes the floor for the first time at the ACC tournament, they are honored as the regular season champion. Okay? The ACC kind of presents two different trophies in the past and that kind of thing. Well, the bylaws of the conference establish that if the tournament is not played, then the regular season champion is regarded as the automatic qualifier for the NCAA tournament. So it just so happened that when the cancellation of the tournament occurred yesterday, the regular season champion was in the building. And so there was a trophy presentation yesterday from the Commissioner John Swofford with some very important words about, you know, the event and where it kind of fits and also the trophy for Florida State.
The league has made a decision to end this year's Atlantic Coast Conference men's basketball tournament. But we believe that it's the right decision to make at this particular point in time. You can ask, why was it not made sooner? And we've got a trophy here somewhere. I'm not strong enough to hold a microphone and a trophy, so guys, take that. Leonard, come on up here. The Florida State Seminoles Atlantic Coast Conference Men's Basketball Champions 2020 for the Atlantic Coast Conference. Congratulations.
There you go.
I'm going to say something here because I was standing on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough for the commish.
Sure it was.
I mean, we talked all week on our shows about the city of Greensboro.
Yeah.
Right, as a host for that particular event and the job they do. And John Swofford, even when he was with us yesterday, talked about, hey, I live here.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last thing he really wanted to do yesterday, was to walk out there with a small, you know, conglomerate of fans from Clemson and Florida State and say, hey, it's the right thing to do. But he did not really want – I mean, he had to do it, but in his heart of hearts, he would have loved to have Greensboro play this thing out.
It was hard in that city.
That's what I'm saying.
Hard in that city for sure.
And I say that, and I did not talk to him afterwards, but standing down on the floor, when he was walking out, I mean, he had that look like, I really never wanted to be in this position. And he had to do what he did. And for Florida State, though, congratulations. They earned it in the regular season. We'll never know what's going to happen with that tournament. But that tournament, the 67th edition of the ACC tournament, you can take it to your grave. You will never see one like that ever again. At least I hope not.
No, I think you're right, and I'm with you. I hope we don't. But Leonard Hamilton's team, the basketball champions on the men's side, and they got the hardware to prove it. You see Trent Forrest, the senior from Chipley, Florida, who played such a big role in their success this year.
And, Wes, we talked about this in the first hour. It was still amazing. Mm. As you're sitting there ready to do the radio call on ESPN, and the Big East is playing.
Yeah.
And let me emphasize, they were playing basketball. And you already knew that the other four of the five big boys were out. They're done. They've shut it down. Started with the Big Ten around 11, 11:15. So, I mean, for an hour, you knew Big Ten's out. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. And here you are on the floor watching the warm-ups. The clock's going down, 15, 14, 13. And the Big East is playing. And you're like, I think that maybe they're going to play. Maybe they're not. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, done.
Yeah.
I will, of all the crazy things I've seen in sports, yesterday in the Greensboro Coliseum will go down as one of the all-timers.
Well, we were fortunate to have Jay Billis with us yesterday on set. And he was fantastic in talking about, he didn't think they were going to play. And then, sure enough, not long after that, after Jay's visit, and not long after the commissioner, and we wrapped up at 10 o'clock yesterday morning, some of the cancellations started coming down. And as Jay alluded to, something that had to be done.
This is a pandemic, and this is about slowing the spread of this and about flattening the curve of this. And the NCAA has no other choice but to be a responsible global citizen here. No other choice. And so I think all of us that have been discussing this last night and throughout the day today agreed that this was inevitable. And there may be reasons why it took the NCAA this long, but those don't matter right now. It could have been negotiation with their partners, also negotiation and discussion with their insurance carriers, because there is over $1 billion in play here just for the NCAA office, let alone all the conferences and the money that was lost by taking the actions they did today by canceling conference tournaments. That's an awful lot of money that is not going to be flowing through the system right now. But that is secondary to the health concerns that are at issue here.
Good stuff from Billis. It was all day.
That's, again, another thing that was interesting yesterday. Jay joined us around 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. and had the same – that what you just heard is basically what he told us at 9 a.m. And then, again, 15, 20 minutes later, here's the commissioner of the ACC sitting down. Are we playing? Yes. I mean, so everybody was all over the place in terms of speculation of how that thing was going to play out. And nobody in their wildest dreams would have thought that the actual time frame of how it went down worked that way, right? Because at 9:35, we're playing. By noon, we were done.
Right.
Wild day.
Yeah.
We'll never absolutely see another day like that again.
Luke DeCock coming up here in about 8 minutes or so. You want to get another call?
Our man Carl in South Carolina is up next. Carl, good morning.
Carl, what's up?
Oh, just kind of in disbelief like everybody else is right now, you know, about what's going on not only in the world but now in the world of sports and just how this is impacting everybody. But the question I had for you guys, and I know you guys hit on it a little bit, you know, just in terms of sports, I think the thing that is really disappointing is the young men and women who were seniors and are not going to go on to play their sport in a professional sense, you know, where they can continue to play the game that they love at a high level. Do you guys right. think that the conferences and the NCAA are going to take that into consideration and maybe see about getting them another year of eligibility? But that's what I want to call about. But you guys stay safe and hope you all have a great weekend.
Same here, Carl. We asked Dan Rodakovich that, and almost unfairly, because there's so many things to address before you get to this issue. But it is going to be one that's going to be kicked around. We do not have the answer, obviously. But, you know, I just think common decency, it would be kind of nice if you said, listen, you know what? It's supposed to be a full end, and you didn't have it. But who knows? You never can tell with the NCAA. Never can tell.
It's the unknown. I mean, and here's the other thing, too, and we're getting ready to talk about this with Luke as it relates to the process the ACC went through yesterday, right? You got all these different channels, silos, if you will, right? You got the institutions, you got the conferences, and you got the national organization. How many times during the course of the football or basketball season do we talk about, like, college football playoff committee is over here, right? And that college football playoff committee is those five commissioners, Jack Swarbrick and the membership of the committee, right, that decides the playoff. Those commissioners have a big, big role in that. You get the NCAA over here, and in the last 24 to 36 hours, we have seen the NCAA act as if they are the dominant force in college basketball, which they want to be. Now we're to a point where we're talking about bringing something back. Well, the NCAA is canceled, and all the conferences have suspended. We're seeing that disconnect again, right?
We definitely saw it yesterday. We heard it yesterday. from one of the guys in the moon in the
but,
room.
But when we come back, will it be different? Will the NCAA take the initiative?
That's why would
or
it be
again,
different?
Will the conferences have to guide them?
Why would it be different? It's been that way.
It's a fair question. I know, and at some point we're going to get to that tipping point, right?
I think so. I've always thought at some point in time, this is just my crazy
sure.
theory. I think at some point in time, there's so much money at stake here that the folks that are really running the show are
exactly.
going to say, you know what? Why are you putting us in a position? I mean, to be honest with you, Mark Emmert put these five incredibly
yes,
powerful people in a tough spot.
That is correct.
The other night. And that is, and we would have known that unless John Swofford answered the question the way he did yesterday. And the, again, these are smart people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are not just figureheads that, oh, yeah, the president's elect this guy. Yeah, you get a nice country club membership. Let's go to. These are smart people. And at some point in time, Wes, in my opinion, there's going to be so much money at stake that the folks that are real movers and shakers are going to go, you know what? Some of these rules that everybody's having to abide by really don't work for us.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't. You know, this is how we operate with a budget of this many commas. And maybe, it, you know, what works for, you know, Florida State maybe doesn't work for Abilene Christian. There's a lot of Abilene Christians
mm-hmm.
and not many Florida States.
Right.
Clemson's, North Carolina's, you know, et cetera. I do think eventually, it would not surprise me that the big boys say, you know what, this has been real fun. We're going to take our ball and we're going to go over here and we're going to go conduct our business. Now, mm-hmm. if there's a way that we can work together with some other things, yeah, that's fine. But we're going to do what's really in our best interest. I think eventually that's going to have to happen.
It could very well be that in
and
the long,
if you're the NCAA, how do you stop that?
I don't know that you can.
I don't know. I don't think you can. Answer to the question.
Yeah, I don't know that you can. Right. I think that, you know, good heavens, it's taken a national health crisis to show everybody the differentials.
Well, there's definitely a problem.
And we talked about it. Yeah, we've talked about it, but we've never seen it play out like this.
In action.
Right.
In the last 48 hours, it has been in action.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
By the way, in case you missed it, Mark had a very special cameo on Westwood One's America in the Morning.
Oh, I sure
so,
did.
So if you missed that on any of your Westwood One, it's
what I do for friends.
All right, Luke Dukak covers the ACC and a myriad of other items for the Raleigh News Observer and is good enough to join us here this morning on Packer and Durham. And online, you can currently read Luke's outstanding account of what happened yesterday. Luke, I'll jump to the end of the car chase here in this respect because I was asked this question yesterday and then read your article and thought, oh, okay, I see where the question comes from. Looks like Dr. Vincent E. Price, the president of Duke University, maybe set the course for the ACC yesterday, or were they hand in hand and a little more congruent than I think?
No, I think Duke's decision that they were going to suspend all spring sports played a critical role in the ACC's eventual decision making. It's obviously a decision the ACC was going to get to eventually, because at that point, you know, the Big Ten had pulled players off the floor, the Big 12 had canceled its tournament. You know, I'm standing on press row at that point with Dan Shulman, and we're yelling at each other like, the Big 12, out! You know, I joked it was like the end of Wall Street where they're all trying to dump Blue Star. And, you know, so I think this is where we were going to get to anyway. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, you look at how angry Val Ackerman was that the Big East was sort of allowed to start its day and ended up looking foolish. So we were going to get there eventually, but it was going to take someone at this point to basically put their foot down and say enough. And make it happen. And it just so happened that it was Duke, which is dealing with this health crisis as a, you know, the largest health system in this part of the, in, at least in Durham and, you know, preparing in many ways for what they fear could be an onslaught. And the provost or the president, excuse me, got out of these meetings with this board of trustees, before noon after the ACC's conference call, Thursday morning and said, you know, this is insane. We're not going to do it. And at that point, he said when he came out of that meeting with his board, he did not know about the Big Ten, the Big 12, that he made this decision independent of all the other conferences that were canceling games and tournaments. and called Swofford and the other 14 presidents and said, we're out. At which point the ACC had no point but to say, okay, you know, we were going to get there eventually, but now is the time. And that's, you know, one of the things that, that you guys would understand about the ACC, and I think a lot of longtime fans have a sense of, is that, you know, when it comes to long-term planning, the ACC is a top-down conference. You know, like, this network exists because John Swofford pushed that vision through in a lot of ways. But when it comes to day-to-day decision-making, and especially in crisis situations like this, and we saw it with HB2, it is not a conference that moves quickly because it traditionally has tried to build consensus and move as one unit. But in a fast-moving situation like this, the last 48 hours, that doesn't always work, and you end up looking a little slow. So in this case, it really was Duke's sort of impetus that got past that inertia and moved the ACC to action.
Look, I still go back to our interview with the commissioner yesterday, though. At 9:34 a.m., we're playing basketball. And it's amazing. Again, I know it was a fluid situation nationwide yesterday, and really for the last 48 hours. But it really, truly is amazing that at 9:34, we're playing. At noon, we're shutting it down. And not only just shutting hoops down, we're shutting everything down.
Yeah, you know, and the decision to shut everything down came a little later in the day, but that was already being discussed at the point that you guys were talking to him. But that is, you know, over the next 2.5 hours, what we saw was a lot of these schools having these discussions on their own, conferences having these discussions on their own, a lack of leadership like you guys were just talking about from the NCAA in terms of a national strategy. And it kind of ended up falling upon one school to make the decision. You know, I do think when you look at the last 48 hours, to be fair to anyone, nobody was really prepared for the decision making that was going to be required here. We haven't seen anything like this, really. And, you know, Ed Hardin from the Greensboro paper and I both reported Wednesday night that canceling the ACC tournament was on the table. And people told us we were insane, that, you know, how can you write that? People screaming at us, how can you write that? You know, how can you pander to the fear? And I said, we went and asked Paul Brazzo, who was the associate commissioner, that question. And he would not take it off the table. He just kept saying, it's a fluid situation. We can't rule anything out. And there we are, you know, 14 hours later, and it's done.
Well, it's
so
funny.
It's just,
I was going to say, you know, yesterday, again, I go back to our interview with what was Commissioner Swofford, and we talked about it. Was there conversations that we're not going to play the games? The tournament's going to, we're going to shut this down. I think his response was, not really.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I mean, it was on the table, just they weren't currently considering it, but they were like, what if we have to do this?
Right.
And that's, you know, in an event like this, you have to have those kinds of contingency plans.
Well, yesterday when we started the Swofford interview on our set, I noticed, and I think you were up there, David Teal, Aaron Beard, there were several guys kind of in that area, just in case he said at 9:30, hey, we're not going to play basketball, we've already made the decision. But we saw how fast-moving this is, or to use Bryce's word, fluid, when he talked about, well, at 9:34, because Pac said at 9:34.
I asked the question purposely with the time because we just knew how crazy life was.
Are we playing basketball? And then he finished the answer by saying, yeah, we're going to play, sure. And then he also said we got one more call. Well, that one more call proved to be
the call.
The call in the essence of getting it started. Now, whether that was Dr. Price at Duke, whether that was the collaborative call with the Big Ten, the SEC, the Pac-12, you know, I don't know, but I do know this. Those five commissioners yesterday did exactly what those five commissioners do when they get together. They made a unified decision that put things in motion again.
So Swofford was supposed to meet with the media when he got off your set at 10 o'clock, you know, around 10 o'clock. They gave us a warning he was going to be in the theater at 10. He did not get in there till after 10:30. And the reason was his conference with his Power Five colleagues, which they thought was going to be a 5-minute call, ended up becoming a 35-minute call. And they came out of that, all of these conferences at 10:30, that they were going to play. And then these dominoes start falling. So the Big East goes out at noon and starts their game at the same time that the Big Ten and Big 12 and maybe SEC, I think, was next. They start pulling the plug entirely. So there wasn't that really coordinated decision making among the Power Five, even after that conference call, which just tells you, I think, in a lot of ways, just how you know, as you guys were talking about, fragmented the decision-making system is, how little guidance there was from the NCAA, which people blame the NCAA for that, but you have to remember that's the way the schools want it. They don't want to be taking orders. The conferences don't want to be taking orders from, you know, Dan Gavitt and Mark Emmert and whoever else. They want to make these decisions themselves. But in the lack of a central decision-making apparatus, you know, what Mike Krzyzewski talks about all the time, you know, we need a basketball czar, which, you know, maybe that's what he ends up doing when he's done coaching. But in the absence of that sort of umbrella organization, you know, these decisions were all made piecemeal. So the Big Ten's pulling its players off the floor. The ACC's sending Florida State and Clemson out for warmups. And at the same time, Duke's meeting with its board of trustees and saying, if the ACC won't do it, if the other schools won't do it, if the governor won't do it, we're going to do it. Because we believe, and Price said this, we have a responsibility that Duke Athletics is an important part of our campus. We have a responsibility for the public health to set the example that social distancing is important. And that's what they did.
By the way, there's no way to quantify what's happened in the last 48 hours from a historical perspective, because this is unprecedented. But can you think of anything else, Luke, that comes, like what would be number two from a college athletic standpoint that would be as bizarre as what we've seen this week?
You know, I don't know that I can say college athletics. The feeling I had without the tremendous sense of tragedy and loss, but just with how quickly things were moving was 9/11. And I don't mean to trivialize any of this or that in any way. It was just the way that things were changing so rapidly that even now, you don't feel like you're standing on solid ground. It's like being on a boat. You know, you just don't have that sense of solidity that you thought you had. And I joked, what was it? I've lost track of the days, but I think Wednesday night I made a joke about, you know, this has been the longest month of the year. Today, and like things got even crazier. Like if you're sitting there at midnight on Wednesday having a beer going, well, all right, whoever thought we'd play an ACC tournament in Greensboro without fans, this is going to be weird, but at least the crazy part's over now, you know, and then, you know, 12 hours later, it's so, you know, we were having some tough discussions already, you know, internally at the News and Observer about if the NCAA tournament goes ahead as planned, do we fly to Dayton? What if we have a team assigned to Spokane and they play that regional there? Will our writers want to go?
Yeah.
We're just starting to have these, you know, very weighty, important, personal discussions about how comfortable are we doing these things at this time? And, you know, then it was all gone. I did a radio interview in Charlotte yesterday at 4:30, and I stopped on the way home from Greensboro, and I checked Twitter, and I stopped at the store to pick up a few things, and I asked the producer, I said, hey, I've been in the car for the last 20 minutes. Has anything happened? Just so I know. Because I was running in with the groceries, and I hadn't had a chance to go. And he goes, oh, yeah, the NCAA canceled everything. I said, eh. I mean, we're at a point where I was like, yeah, all right, sounds about right. And it's just like, yeah.
Yeah. About 90 seconds here, real quick. The ACC used the word suspended. The NCAA used the word cancel. Let's deal with the ACC. Just a thought here. Do you think we do anything athletically related before the end of the athletic calendar in 2020?
I don't, because the NCAA's decision sort of, I think, superseded the ACC's decision in the sense that if you're not going to have spring championships, you know, do you send your soccer team out to play? I think the other issue that we have here, even with the difference between suspension and cancellation, is some of these students are not coming back to campus this semester.
That's right. Yes, that's correct.
And that may apply to athletes too. And it's going to be different school by school, but you just, there's so much disjunction and so much uncertainty that I just think this is one of those times where athletics, in a lot of ways, are just going to have to take a seat for a little while.
All right. You're good, man. Appreciate your reporting. You did a heck of a job, and you're right. When you texted me the other night, you aged 2 years in one day. So congratulations on that.
Well, I knew I'd be talking with you guys at some point. I didn't think it would be from my basement.
No. Well, and by the way, congratulations on the Sony Trinitron stats monitor. Not a lot of people have that as a bookshelf keepsake, right, Pac?
That look good down here.
Yeah, you know, if you ever come make a basement visit, we'd like our hands on that.
I'll bring it, but you can't keep it.
Oh,
we've got some stuff here you might like. We'll do a little trade with you.
we'll swap out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it. Be well, my man.
My pleasure, guys.
All right. Luke DeCock, Raleigh News Observer.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like animal control when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
As we get you to a weekend, sports-free weekend. How about that?
Yeah. Going to be different. No question.
You're going to be out there hitting balls, man, aren't you?
No, not for the next few days. Not for the next few days.
Really?
Nope. No, I'm just going to.
You got to walk the cat?
Yep.
You and Clifford?
Me and Clifford going to hang out a while.
That'd be good for you.
Yeah. Do some reading.
You need to decompress a little bit anyhow. It's a pretty high-stress world you got going on over there.
And right here, you mean?
Yeah.
It's high stress. probably should make note here that we're going to step away for a while, right? Because of the impact of the coronavirus. And
oh, I thought you meant like we're going to get ready to walk out and take the dogs for a while.
No. We're going to step away for a while. Our show will be on a bit of a hiatus, no activities, and because of the impact of the coronavirus, we're going to step away for a while, but there'll be more Packer and Durham in the future.
Yeah, we plan on being back.
Yeah, we're
until
coming back.
Told otherwise, yeah. But you know, given how crazy the world is,
mm-hmm.
And even I was going to say, even with like SiriusXM, we've had conversations about, all right,
yeah.
Down in the sports world, we have no sports to talk about. How are we going to handle this?
Right. So
it's a very interesting time. It really is.
So we're going to go on a little bit of a brief break here, but you'll still see our acceptable faces from time to time. So, we're always grateful for the engagement and things like that you give us and the great response we got from fans. It was fun meeting a lot of people who watch the show in Greensboro and we're appreciative of that and we'll be back. It's, you know, just part of the circumstance here for the next couple of weeks or so. And, we look forward to having Packer and Durham back up with you soon.
So if you had the number 141, you're a winner
in the pool.
141 shows.
Stop it. All right. Social media was a flutter yesterday. And you feel for these kids.
No question.
I mean, to be right there, and the storylines all vary, not only in the ACC, but nationally for sure. So, Andy Katz, of course, unprecedented times, cancellations, men's and women's March Madness, Frozen Four, wrestling, College World Series, college softball World Series, tennis, lacrosse, golf, beach volleyball, outdoor track and field. Seniors in all of those sports are done unless waivers are given. That was pretty much a synopsis of the impact from this point forward by the NCAA.
And by the way, Dan Radakovich, you joined us in the first hour. When he made mention of the 1980 Olympics, which was going to Moscow, it's similar in a sense. Again, the Olympic universe was 4 years, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you had all these great world, you know, class athletes that work like crazy and don't get that opportunity when your window really gets tight. That may be the most perfect analogy with what we're talking about with seniors. Now, again, granted, they've played 3 years and now into a fourth, hopefully, but aren't able to close out like they want to.
Right.
But the 1980 analogy is probably a good one.
Yeah, so that's Andy Katz. A little closer to home in the ACC. You know, we got more guys here. A couple of three from Louisville, basketball in particular, and I know those guys really kind of wanted to see if they could start playing more consistent. Dwayne Sutton, who is from Louisville. 4 years gone by way too fast. Unthinkable ending. Louisville forever. Remember, he transferred into that Cardinal program after an unbelievable freshman year at UNC Asheville.
And he's right, though. Those 4 years in college go by very, very fast.
One of our favorites on the show, Ryan McMahon. Incredible 5 years. If I could do it all over again, I'd be right back here. And what a 5 years he had. Ended in the most unimaginable way, but God has his plan. Once again, thank you. Love forever. Ryan McMahon, and then Jordan Wara, just put it pretty simple. I mean, and Wara was, by the way, a pretty good quote when found in the lobby of the Louisville Hotel, but his tweet is, "This is tough for real." Wara really wanted to play.
Oh, you can imagine.
And
the year he had and on that platform in Louisville trying to win a championship. And,
right.
You know, some unfinished business against Florida State, hopefully for them. That's what they were looking at after getting swept.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I feel terrible for the kids, too.
Yep.
They really do. I mean, those student-athletes put in the time, and it's not just a basketball thing. It's everybody.
Yeah.
And when you're hanging around these college campuses and you see the work being done, I'm not talking about just the games that are played, the work that is done to put yourself in that position, and now you just can't go.
Devin Vassell, one of the Florida State Seminoles who – was able to get to social media. The season is over. I mean, you just kind of feel it.
And how about that team, right? I mean, they win their first ACC regular season title. They're the number one seed going to the tournament. The potential of perhaps being a number one overall seed in terms of the one line for the NCAA tournament. To get to a Final Four, this was a special team Leonard Hamilton had, and we're just not going to see it. We're just not going to see how it ends.
Yeah. And then Kai Gillespie, who gave such an unbelievable effort in the ACC tournament, especially had an injury, then came back. Terribly sorry our journey had to end this way. These past two seasons have meant everything to me, to my teammates. You've made me a better person inside and out. Thank you, Florida State.
Classy lady.
Yep, very. And then we showed you Cassius Stanley early in the show. But the freshman from Los Angeles, who never got to play, at least so far, in an ACC tournament game this year. Heartbreaking, but the right thing to do. And
sure hope he comes back, man.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Yeah. I was hoping to get a picture of you and Cassius Stanley together.
You know what? You know what I like to do?
What?
I'd like to stand somewhere in the lane and just have him dunk over the top of my head.
I don't think that'd be a problem.
Oh, I know he'd go right over the top of me.
We got to the questions earlier. The questions we won't get answers to because all indications are they're not going to release what the committee had done because there's no need to. The AQs are still being figured out and all that other jazz. You wonder, NC State and getting in? Joe Lunardi said yesterday morning that even with a loss, he felt like NC State was safe for the day. That was crazy.
Does it really matter?
No, it doesn't. But you're just left with kind of some unended stuff as it relates to the ACC.
I don't mean to dump on your question, but it just seems almost like, oh, man, we're not going to get the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've done all the fun stuff, right, for 4 months and change to get to this moment.
Yeah.
And now it feels like a Peanuts cartoon, right? Lucy just took the ball and went, sorry, see you later.
Well, I will tell you that I did have a thought yesterday about this. There is no question, Pike, and you know this better than anybody else who I associate with professionally on this. You know what the NCAA basketball tournament is nationally, right? I mean, it is college basketball for most of America, fair? I mean, you talk about it in the afternoons.
Oh, you're talking about just the college landscape?
Yes.
Oh, it is, in some respects, a one-month sport.
Correct.
And I know
that you talk about this.
I do. And I know there's basketball purists that hate it when I say that. And I almost hate saying it because it used to be in the day, hey, we couldn't wait for the first game and you watched and worried about every night. But, and, you know, doing the SiriusXM show, I have sensed in the last 10 years with SiriusXM, with a national platform, the interest level on a Tuesday night in January is not the same
right
as it was 10 years ago. And I know basketball purists, coaches, the back, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, on this particular show,
right,
I do. But when we get to March, people are dialed in. As soon as somebody gets their hands on a bracket, people are dialed in. All of a sudden, hey, I want to know about that senior backcourt with Hofstra. Who are those guys? Mm-hmm. I couldn't find Hofstra on the map, but I'm picking them because – whatever. And now all of a sudden people are engaged. And so, yeah, there's no doubt. And now we get to the edge of the best time of the year.
For the sport.
For the entire sport.
Yep.
And it's gone. Gone.
And here's my thought. Because of that singular popularity that exists with the NCAA tournament as it relates to the sport, what you hope is that during this time – where we're not going to have this event, that in some ways the sport takes an introspective look at itself and thinks about kind of where we lost our edge. Where did we lose our impact on this? I know that's a small detail and a much bigger question, but.
Well, I can give you the first answer to it. The first problem basketball has is the strength of football.
Yeah.
The strength of football, you know, we don't have the same issue during the college football season that people say, oh, I really didn't watch the regular season. But now that the playoffs are going to start.
Right.
College football is the exact opposite in some respects. People are dialed in and ready to go for the very first game. And at some point in time, hey, I hope my team can be in the postseason or go to a major bowl. It's almost the exact opposite of basketball.
Packer and Durham. Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
All right, we have a really cool deal here.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that ESPN does that's nothing short of spectacular.
Right.
Are any and all documentaries. 30 for 30s, breakdown. I mean, it's sensational. And you find yourself riveted, even if you don't know the combatants, right, mm-hmm. or the topic. You find out, you end up learning something. But when you know who the people are, and there's a documentary, it makes it even that much better.
Yeah, and I think the work done here, Holly Rowe narrates a unique story that's playing out in Duke basketball. You know, of course, Tyus Jones, who had a marvelous career, capped with a national title. His brother is Trey Jones. And those brothers have competed and been successful in doing everything. And now they're on a parallel path. Not only as brothers, but also in collective step with their mom. And Holly Rowe tells us this unique bond with the Joneses.
He has been magnificent.
Jones is trying, and he ties it. And Duke wins in overtime.
What a game.
Got the miss. Jones, can he get a shot off?
Yes! Oh. What was going through your mind as you took over?
Tyus Stones. He's been in the same moment before. Shout out Big Bro. I know he's watching wherever he is right now. I'm just trying to be like Big Bro.
That just was crazy to me just because in a moment like that, for me to be what was on his mind, just meant a lot to me.
They want to be in the moment, and they were built for moments because they come from a family. And the mother in Debbie, who is tough, smart, and prepares her kids that way, her boys.
So when I was pregnant with Tyus, I was playing in a men's league. And I think I was close to 5 months pregnant. And, you know, it was a competitive men's league, and the competitiveness, like, started before he even got here, really.
Growing up in Minnesota, Tyus and Trey Jones learned to love basketball from their mother, Debbie. And soon enough, they were competing against her.
We used to live in a townhouse that had a playroom in between the garage and the main house. And we had a full-size rim in the playroom.
Mom decided one day to come and jump in one of the pickup games of basketball. She's going up for a layup dunk.
Dunk.
My brother went and blocked her. And she didn't let go of the ball, though. Kind of ate it.
I'm not going to let my mom dunk. Foul or no foul, knock her into the wall / hoop. And
literally, I'm like smashed right into the wall. So, yeah.
Eventually, the basketball games moved from home to high school and beyond. Older brother JD was the first to play college ball at Furman. Tyus started on his varsity team when he was just in eighth grade, eventually winning a state championship and the attention of a Hall of Fame coach.
When we recruited Tyus, Trey was already a Duke fan. It's a great dynamic, and they don't want to be exactly like the other, and they're not.
Tyus led Duke to a national championship in 2015, earning Final Four Most Outstanding Player honors and a first-round selection in the NBA draft. As a freshman in high school, Trey was already used to those expectations that had been set by his brother.
The comparison, I've heard it since eighth grade. I won't stop hearing it now. I feel like all the comparisons will sometimes get to me, and I learned how to deal with it now, and I feel like I fully embrace it and just use it as motivation.
4 years after Tyus left Duke, it was Trey's turn to start at point guard for the Blue Devils as part of one of the most hyped freshman classes in college basketball history. But in the middle of this high-profile season, Trey was privately going through one of the most difficult times of his life. In February 2019, Debbie asked for Trey to come to her hotel room after a game.
I was looking around the room. It was like my aunt in there, uncle in there. JD was in there as well. And she told me right then that she's diagnosed with cancer.
This is going to be tough to talk about. I think that was the hardest part, because for all of our lives, she had been, the rock for our family. She's been the strongest person we've ever met.
There's definitely days where I wish I could have just been home and I didn't care about being here at all, but I knew how much she was fighting.
Debbie called a meeting with me, and she never allowed anyone to feel sorry for her. She didn't want her to be the focus. I said, please don't do that. You are the focus, and he's the focus. We can have more than one focus. And by the way, if we really focus on this, maybe we'll get stronger together.
Now with Tyus in the NBA playing for the Grizzlies and Trey in his sophomore season, Debbie is busy traveling between Memphis and Duke games, even as she completes her final cancer treatments.
I'll be in the stands. All of a sudden, I'll just be like crying, and everyone's like, what is going on? For them to accomplish what they've accomplished, it's a blessing.
By the way, Debbie Jones still undergoing treatments. You saw her a lot in the postseason, or we're going to see her a lot in the postseason. You saw her a lot during the regular season. She's gotten good at streaming too, is what one of the stories said, because she, when one's playing and she's not at that game, she'll be watching the other one on her phone in the building. So what a wonderful and strong woman.
No question.
Coach K, I think, really talked about that beautifully. So, Reese Davis is coming up with us here in a few minutes. We'll get his,
by the way,
his version of a weird day or an interesting day in sports.
In watching that piece again, the Trey Jones ricochet off the rim against North, is that the ACC play of the year?
Could be.
I know we're going on a semi-hiatus here while this coronavirus thing settles down and we'll be back. But and I know we got stuff to do, but is that the – when I say to you the ACC basketball play of the year is –
of current content, it'd be close. It would probably be number one, yes.
Trent Forrest dunk against Louisville?
That would be in the top five. So would Keyhead Clark's fadeaway at Virginia Tech.
That's interesting.
Think about that game.
How about Tomas' shot against North Carolina? Pump fake, left, no? Like, how about my man Cassius Stanley dunking with his ankle multiple times?
It all comes back to Cassius Stanley.
But if I said that to our audience,
right?
The ACC basketball play of the year is, how would you answer that question? Because when I saw that again with the Trey Jones, that play was so ridiculous,
right?
I mean, you got to try something, but they pulled it off to perfection and still made the – not only did you pull it off, get it, but you still had to make the shot.
Yep. Sure did.
I don't know. That's got to be – it's got to be in the top three.
You discount it because of the jerseys?
Yeah, well, you know the jerseys were terrible. But that didn't matter. The play was unbelievable. But Forrest dunk against Louisville, though.
Yeah. Huh? I understand.
Come on, now. That was poster.
Yeah, it was.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.